Psalm 116 tonight from the Word of God. I love this psalm. Psalm of David. And we'll read the entire psalm. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Well, that's a thick verse right there. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits to him? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant, son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. The courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Now, Father, I do pray, God, that you help us by reminding us that you are our hiding place. We thank you. We thank you for all you've done. We praise you for who you are. We ask that you meet with us in a special way in the service tonight. Bind Satan and keep him from hindering what you want to do. We're convinced you always want to do something with us. And if you don't do it, it's not your fault. So help us not to be in the way of you doing something, but help us to be in the way where you're doing something. I do pray, God, that you'll bless in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The exact time, location, circumstance, background, particulars to this psalm is not necessarily known. We do, however, know that the psalm was written by David. We read in the Psalms many songs of David, many cries of David. Truth be told, oftentimes when Christian folks battle discouragement, distress, despondency, even moments of depression, I recommend they read the Psalms. It's hard to be depressed when you spend some time in the Psalms. But let me say to you, it is not just being in the Psalms that you get out of depression, because you can read somebody else's testimony and still be in a mess. So it's not just being in the Psalms that you get out of depression, but you can't stay in depression when you begin to rejoice in the God of the Psalms. And I love, as I read David, I love reading about David, because David has some things said about him in the Word of God that are not said about anybody else. One of which that God says, David is a man after mine own heart. I'd say that's as good of a compliment, as humbling of a compliment that can be made to anyone, We're often complimented by people, but it's another thing to be commended by God. God said he's a man after mine own heart. We speak of the heart. We speak of the mind, the emotions, and the will. Listen to me. God said David's got a mind like me. He's got emotions like me. He's got a will like me. Let me tell you something. You and I don't have to live long and don't have to think long to realize our mind gets off track and our will sometimes is stubborn and rebellious and our emotions are a roller coaster. But would to God you and I could find some stability and some continuity to let our mind be like the mind of God, our emotions be like the emotions of God, and our will be like the will of God. In other words, let me think like God. Let me feel like God. Let me want like God. Why? That gives me a heart like God. He's got a heart like me. Wow. I look at David's life. Oh, shepherd boy. From the fields of nothingness to the splendor of the throne. I look at David. Not the brother they perceived would travel up the ladder of success. He wasn't even worthy to fight in a war. Too young for battle. Too young for armor. Too young to be picked to fight Goliath. But he found out, and so did the others, that God wasn't looking at age. God was looking at character. And he used David. David steps up at the scene. Swings that slingshot towards Goliath. That rock hits him in the head and Goliath falls down. And a great victory is won. And you know the story. David is anointed to be the next king over Israel after God has rejected Saul for rejecting God. And by the way, you want to get rejected by God, you just reject God. You'll find out God will reject you if you reject him. And Saul has rejected God. He didn't follow God's commandments. By the way, not just one time, but several times. He turned to other places beside God. And all of a sudden, God rejects him and finds him a man after his own heart. But you understand that just because David was God's anointed didn't mean everybody was going to recognize him as such. And his ascent to the throne was a tumultuous one. It's a very eventful one. Not only did he not receive the embrace of his predecessor, but there were many who were still linked to Saul. And not ready to relinquish the throne to David. David was attacked by Saul. He was attempted to be assassinated by Saul. He was blocked by Saul. Here he was, God's choice, yet he's hiding in the cave. You got to understand something, child of God. Just because you're God's on your side and you're God's choice doesn't mean everybody's going to like you. Doesn't mean everybody's going to agree with you. And sometimes you've got to hide. Thank God for Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Almighty shall abide there. Thank God that I can hide in God, that he can cover me under his wings, and he spreads his wings out, and no harm can bother me there. Why? I've got to be able to find a place to hide in God, because sometimes when God's on my side, he's the only one that is. I think about David and the attacks and the battles, and I'm saying all these things about the background because we don't know much of when this psalm was written, but when you think about all the things that David had gone through, whether it was the attack of Saul, and then it's on the throne, and then he's attempted to be uplifted or uproared by his own son, and Absalom tries to steal the throne from him, and he deals with that, and all the enemies of God, and all even his own wise men and counselors were turning on him, and some of his great leaders were fighting against him, and those he had laid his life down for were now trying to take his life from him. And yet I read Psalm 16 and I find out why David never quit on God. He fell. He did. Somebody said, how could God call David man after his own heart, knowing that he fell into sin? It's a pretty strong statement. By the way, you go to the New Testament, the book of Acts, chapter number 13, and you hear a description of David. As a matter of fact, verse 22 of Acts 13 said, when he had removed him and raised him up, David, to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all of my will. You understand this, that Luke is writing in reference to David long after David has fallen. And if God didn't want David to be remembered that way, he didn't have to inspire Luke to write that. Yet David, even after falling, is still referred to as a man after God's own heart. 36 said he served his own generation by the will of God. And somebody said, how can a man be a man after God's own heart and fall? And I'll tell you how. God knew that even though David would fall, he'd repent and get back up. Amen. And by the way, it's because he was a man after God's own heart, he didn't stay in sin. And it's because many of God's people are not, and that's why you do stay in sin. And if your heart is right with God, listen to me, David fell out with God because he took his eyes off of God. And let me tell you something, lest you and I think that we can never do so, we just need to look back in the very brief history of our own lives and find the mistakes and the blunders and the plunders that you and I have made oftentimes because we took our eyes off of God. But I'll tell you, the sincere heart and the heart whose mind is stayed on God, even though he falls, we'll understand that a just man gets back up again. And I cannot stay down in sin, because my heart, like God's, won't let me stay there. An amazement about David. David makes a statement which I've shared and preached on before. Could not get it out of my mind. I think about this as we come to the close of the year, and the spirit of worship is, I want you to hear this stanza in this psalm that David, in my opinion, sings so loudly. Verse 16. Oh, Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant. Wait a minute, the Bible calls him the sweet psalmist of Israel. God calls him a man after God's own heart. The people called him a giant killer. Listen to me, the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels, out of all of the people that are mentioned in Scripture, it gets to David and said, David, the king. Say about anybody else. The other kings mentioned in that passage. David, the king. Hey, listen to me. Of all the kings that sat on the throne of Israel, you look back to Jewish history, and when you refer to David, of all of them, David is referred to as the king, the magistrate, the ruler, the one who sat on that throne that ultimately one day Jesus himself will sit upon. David, the king. You and I look at David, and we're enamored by his kingship. We're enamored by his warrior-like features. We're enamored by what he did to Goliath. We're enamored by his meekness. We're enamored by his leadership. We're enamored by his heart after God. We're enamored by the greatness that exuded from David. But David was never enamored about himself. Now, you and I heap all of these titles on David. I want you to notice tonight what David called himself. A servant. A servant. A servant. Wait a minute, David. Why are you screaming this so loudly? Psalm 116:16. And then why do you repeat it again? Oh Lord, I am thy servant. I am thy servant. Hey, let me tell you something. There are a lot of folks that want to call themselves servants of God. Now, I'm telling you what, I've never seen so many servants in my life. I mean, they talk about being servants, and they say they serve God, and they say they're into serving God. I tell you, I'm the servant of the Most High God. Are you really? I tell you, I serve the Lord. You run into people and say, I serve at this church. I serve on this board. I serve with these other members. I serve in the choir. I serve as a trustee. I serve as a deacon. I serve as an usher. I serve as a choir member. And don't run into them next year about the same holiday. They ain't serving in that capacity anymore. And I want you to know something. He wasn't talking about being in a group. He wasn't talking about serving on a board. He wasn't talking about singing in a choir. He wasn't talking about a certain capacity. He wasn't talking about a certain function. He wasn't talking about serving every year on some committee. He wasn't talking about serving at a repast after a funeral. He wasn't talking about serving if the need be for extra hands. He was talking about in every area of my life, in every facet of my life, when I get up every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, whether I'm the leader of the choir, a deacon on the board, a trustee and usher, a ministry leader, whether I've got clout, accolades, authority, or anybody's underneath me, I've made up my mind. My life is going to be geared and dedicated and devoted in the employ of Almighty God. If folks don't like me, if they don't enjoy me, if they don't appreciate me, if they don't respect me, it really doesn't matter. I know why I'm here. I know what my purpose is. I know where I'm supposed to be landing. I know what my vocation is about. I know what my job here is on earth. Oh Lord, I am a servant. I am thy servant. Thou hast loosed my bond. I want to share this thought tonight as we read Psalm 116. And I want to call it this: the worshiping servant. See, the old Lord, I am thy servant, emanates from a heart of worship. See, watch this. Worship keeps you in check. It keeps you in check. You see, when your pride begins to escalate and elevate you beyond the meagerness and meanness of servant, you've gotten your mind on you and your mind off of him. You know why Psalm 116 fits in Psalm 116? Because David was worshiping for 15 verses. And when he landed on 16, it was just a segue right in the middle of the song that fit within the whole arrangement of David's heart. He said, I am thy servant. You don't just walk in the church one day and say, I am a servant of God. No, it starts with the heart that recognizes who God is, what God's done, what God is all about, his position, his priority in my life. And then I say with everything in me, I am thy servant. I am thy servant. Well, ask your question, John. Are you a worshiping servant? And let me assure you this. If you're not a worshiping servant, chances are you won't be a servant for long. As we come to the end of this year, and we preach an end of the year message on Sunday morning, but to this faithful crowd here, these Wednesday night, it was flurrying, but I came anyway, crowd. It's we're after Christmas, and we have a good reason just to go ahead and skip out. It's probably a little slick on the road that I was out in the store to today. But nonetheless, it amazes how many people run everywhere but can't come to church. I'm not trying to get anybody's business. I'm just trying to get all up in somebody's business. But nonetheless, I'm just trying to tell you, them same tires that get you to Walmart and Target and Tyson Corner will get you to Crossroad Baptist. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Sure. I like that. is it that everybody wants to be something that sounds so much more spectacular? I wonder if 2013, I'm going to get me one of them positions in the church. By the way, if you're wondering, save your wonder. Because when you aspire is to get higher, plan on dwelling a lot lower. See, because when you're running after position, you don't need to be promoted. Can I tell you something? When you're running after Jesus, you can't help but get higher. You hear me? I just feel like I'm so low around here. You run after Jesus, you find yourself going up an escalator you didn't know you were on. You understand me? Because when you run after Jesus, he's so much higher than us. You limit yourself when you run after a position, because when you arrive there, you think you've done something. When you run after Jesus, you're running until the trumpet sounds, because he's altogether lovely, amen. Altogether worthy. Altogether wonderful. To me. Now let me give you some L's, quick L's. Watch how fast I give these L's. You'll be amazed at how I could give you these L's so quickly. The worshiping servant, number one, loves his master. I tell you, I get to Psalm 116:1 and I almost get choked up every time. I love the Lord. Oh, if anything has become so cliche in our modern day today, it's the phrase, I love you. I love you. I like that phrase. I go around the house saying, I love you all the time. I mean, I must tell my children, my wife, my family, I love you 15, 20, 25 times a day. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. But I'm not saying it to convince them or to convince me. I'm saying it because I mean it. And I asked you tonight, is there one or two, 12 or 20 worshiping servants in the house today that say, I'm not coming to church just to prove it. I'm not coming to church to show off. I'm not singing a song to get a solo. I'm not dropping it in the offering plate facing up so somebody will see how much I give. I showed up tonight. I get down on my knees. I read my Bible. I tithe, give the missions. I sing, I shout, I serve, I witness, I go, I glow, I grow, because I know I love him. I love the Lord. Yes, indeed. Tell you, the worshiping service said, I love him. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. Wow. Let me ask you two questions tonight. Maybe the reason why you don't serve like you used to, because you don't love like you used to. Hey, how can you help but love him when you're worshiping him? I mean, when you're looking at him, doesn't he look good? When you're talking to him, doesn't he listen? When you're in his presence, isn't he beautiful? I mean, listen to me. When you're around him, doesn't he make you feel better? When you're talking to him, aren't your burdens lifted? When you call on him, doesn't he answer the phone? When you need him, isn't he always there? David said, you know why I'm writing about God? Because God is the only one in every time where I can look back and say 100% of the time, he's always been faithful. He's always been there. I make no bones about it. I love the Lord, my soul. How often do you tell him you love him? I love the Lord. Do you love him? Listen, if you stopped serving in some area in 2012, instead of going back to the ministry, go back to love. Well, if I could just get back in that ministry, I'd start loving God. No, if you start loving God, you might get back in that ministry. Well, if I could just get back to them 5 chapters a day, I might love. No, if you get back to love, you might go past 5 and 10. If I could just get back in that choir, I'd start loving them all. If you'd start loving them, you'd sing even when the choir wasn't singing. Or if I could get back to that missions commitment, I'd start loving them all. If you'd start loving them, you'd quit just sending money across the foreign soil. You'd start soul winning with your own mouth. Oh, if I could just get that job back, I'd start loving again. No, if you'd start loving him, you'd create a job for your own self. Oh, if I could just get back right with that relationship, I'd start loving. No, if you'd start loving him, you'd find out you'd get friends that love him like you do. At the source of every Christian problem is our love for God. Listen, I'm telling you right now. Most church members in good churches across America don't love God like this. Listen. Take God out of the equation and substitute any relationship that you've ever had with anybody. Pay them no mind and try to convince them you love them and see how much of a fool you look like. Now keep paying Jehovah no mind and keep lying to the rest of his children like you love them. And see how much of a fool you look like. Keep waving your hand in church when you wave the same hand out of church to another God and see if Jehovah thinks you love him. Keep coming to church and signifying and dignifying like you love God and outside of church shaking and doing everything else for the devil and see if you prove God. Let me tell you something. There's a humility that comes over us. There's an aura that comes over us. There's a worshiping spirit of reverence and a fear that just seems to saturate the child of God that's in love with God. I don't have to force myself to sing or bribe myself to come to church about Wednesday. My soul so starving, my soul so famished, I'm dying to get to church. I love him. I told you some fast L's. Watch this now. The worshiping servant looks to him. He inclined his ear unto me. Therefore I'll call. I am thy servant. So guess what? When I'm in trouble, expect a call from me. And I'm going to tell you right now, I kind of have a rule about myself. Maybe you have it about yourself. And we all phrase it maybe differently. But at the end of the day, it sounds somewhat like this. Don't call me for help if that's the only time you call me. Do you live by that? If you don't, it's probably because you often violate it. And you, oh no, I would never do that to people. No, because you keep calling people and that's the only time you call them. So you don't want to make that rule for yourself because you know you don't live by it. But for those of us who just don't go around just begging people for stuff that we don't talk to, we don't like people begging us that they don't talk to us. Amen. I just don't expect you to call me out the blue for $1,000. Out the blue. Amen. So my question, why you do God that way? Listen, there are churchmen in this church. I'm not trying to point anybody out. Some of them not here. But some of you will serve as a representative of them. Because you occupy their category. We prayed you out of your calamity. And you have played God. There are some Christians in this church that are financially stable, physically healthy, maritally sound, emotionally somewhat normal. And they themselves prayed the least for their problem. I'm telling you what, listen, there are people on this prayer list that we pray for tonight that don't even pray for themselves. Amen. I've had men text me about what to pray for on Saturday morning that would never think about coming to men's prayer. And I'm saying, we will pray that you get better and that you get a job. We're also going to pray that you start coming. Amen. You know why? Because we want you to be able to get through to God when men's prayer is canceled. We want you to be able to get an answer when you can't get a hold of us, when your cell phone runs out of minutes and your internet is shut down, and when your Twitter hadn't been checked, and when you forgot to mention it to somebody. We want you to be able to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I say to you, beloved, stay in touch with God. You'll never know when you need Him. Keep the lines open. I've seen some people panic so much when they were in physical calamity. And they're so proud and so arrogant now that they're well. We've prayed people out of jail, never came to church. Prayed people out of hospital, came the first few Sundays just to show their face. Prayed them for a job, don't tithe. Prayed them for a car, hardly drive it to church. Prayed them for a house. Thank their stuff now. Prayed them for a wife, won't lead her right. Prayed you for a husband, won't submit to him. Prayed you to have children, let them live like the devil. Listen to me. The worshiping servant stays in touch with his master. I'm going to look to him. Let me move. I'm going to lean on him. I called upon the name of the Lord. I'm moving quickly. Why he's gracious. Why he's righteous. Why he's merciful. Let me ask you a question. Next time you have to think about whether you're going to lean on God, just remember one out of three. If gracious won't do it, righteous got to do it. And if gracious and righteous can't do it together, throw in mercy and shazam, you ought to lean on him then. I mean, good gracious alive. Do you need to get another opinion before you call on God? You find one other person on the face of the earth that's gracious or righteous or merciful, much less gracious, righteous, and merciful. That's the God we serve. I lean on him. Why? He preserveth the simple. What is simple, Pastor? When you get home tonight, look in the mirror. All of us, that's simple. Simple is ignorant, impressionable, insecure. Simple. Simple. Simple just means I do silly things. Silly things. And we're good at pointing out the silliness in people and ignoring the silliness in ourselves. But ain't a soul in here tonight that can't be well acquainted with your own silliness. You've been simple for too many times. And you stand here tonight and say, I've just made it through 2012. I worked hard to make it through 2012. I did a lot to make it through. I'm proud of myself. No, the truth of the matter is, your little simple self would have been down under were it not for the preservation of your master. Preserveth the simple. Man, y'all ain't gonna let me get off this thing here. I was brought low and he helped me. You ever been low? Were you low in 2012? Anybody ever low? How low can you go? Just when you said that, the answer was lower. Okay? I don't know how low, but lower than where you are. He helped you. Let me say, there were some times some of us in 2012 were so low we were too embarrassed to tell about it. So low, nobody else was low enough to find us. So low, we didn't even feel good about praying. And God took your couldn't pray low self and helped you anyhow. Amen. Returning to thy rest. I picture a parent going into the room of a crying baby in this verse 7. We all know what it is to have our children crying in the middle of the night. We all know. But Crystal said Ricardo doesn't know. He sleep through it, but she tells him the next day the baby cried. Amen. He said, "Boy, she sure slept all night long." She said, "Yeah, no, you did. She did." But nonetheless, for those of us that wake up and hear these babies crying, you know, just to go into to your children's room and just kind of rub that baby back. And somehow when that parent is there, rubbing that baby back, it's as if to say, "I know you woke up, look around, and don't know where you are. But Daddy and Mommy's here now. Go back to sleep." You know what David said, "Man, I woke up sometimes in the middle of some situations. Didn't have a clue where I was. And just when I was about to panic, God showed up, rubbed his loving hand on my back and said, 'Go back to bed, David. Daddy's here. It's going to be fine.'" You have any of those times in 2004? No wonder he said, "I lean on him." It looked, good gracious, alive. I don't have time to fool with eight. Soul from death, eyes from tears, feet from falling. Come on now. How many times your soul almost died in 12? How many times your tears were crying in 12? How many times your feet were falling, stumbling, slipping, and tripping, and all kinds of other mess? And God took your little crippled legs and walked you on through the road of life. Put you in a wheelchair and pushed you through. Put you on his back and carried you through. Put you in his arms and threw you on through. But for heaven's sake, you made it because of him and not because of you. I'll walk before the Lord. Hey, listen to me. I love him. I look to him. I lean on him. For I will live for him. I will walk before the Lord. Hey, you know what the worshiping servant does? He gets up in a world that has cast God out. And he lives for God anyway. I'll walk before the Lord. In the land of the living, where people can see it. Where the world can notice it. Where the dark crowd can discern it. I'll get up in wicked America and live for God. I'll go to that crazy job and live for God. I'll stand in an immoral society and be pure. I'll stand in an immodest society and dress appropriately. I'll stand along cussing mouths and speak with a mouth of grace and mercy. I'll live in a world with dirty minds and keep my mind clean. I'll live in a place where kids are acting crazy. And I'll live like I've been grounded and founded on the word of God. Walk for them. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. Hey, David said, "Man, I've had some tough times, but I'll take the cup of salvation and I'll call upon him." Hey, listen, that good servant, worshiping servant, I labor for the Lord. Hey, listen, I'm going to go through some struggles, but I'm going to keep on working. I'll take the cup. Jesus drank the cup of suffering. I'll drink it with. I'll pay my vows. 14, I will not lie to my master. You know what the worshiping servant does? Keeps his promise. Well, some of us are going to have to just go on and just plan on 13. I don't qualify for 12 worshiping servants, but I'll make some plans for 13. Amen. I'm going to start off keep my promises. And a good way to keep your promises is to keep the ones that really don't require spirituality, so you're practicing faithfulness. Amen. I mean, when you write down a commitment on a card, keep it. When I write down a building fund commitment, as we'll take in a couple weeks, I hope you write one down, keep it. I write down my mid-missions commitment. I'm not going to keep checking every year I started and stopped again. I'm going to actually increase. Amen. And an increase can never come from a heart that ceased. Amen. Increase comes from faithfulness, and I step it up. You can't step it up when you fell down. I'm not coming to the altar every Sunday, every Wednesday, and going back home waiting to go to the altar the next week for the same thing. I'm going to keep my vow. I'm going to pay my vows. When are you going to pay them, David? Now, in the presence of all these people, I'm going to let my church watch me keep my promise to my God. I'll lift up my master. I'll praise him. Let the redeemer of the Lord. Yeah, I'll lift you up. And guess what? A worshiping servant lasts for his master. I like verse number 2. Last statement as long as I live. I ask you tonight, and I'm finished. So, when do you plan to retire? I've already decided in 2013. I've already told the Lord some areas where I can already tell I won't be able to do as much for him. I'm always worried about these Christians that love God so much and brainstorming at how they can cut back. God, you know I love, God, listen, God, you know I love you like I always did, but no, man got to do with it, man. I just can't keep giving like I'm giving. I can't be giving you one night a week, so I can't be coming three times to church and have 2 hours a week to choir, several hours on Saturday for bus route, going to jail and all that stuff. And I got, man, brother is struggling. But you know I love you, brother. Tell your wife that. See if she believes. Tell your husband. See if he believes. Tell your parents that. See if they believe. It doesn't work anywhere else. You tell me. Why in the world do you think it'll work with the one who's responsible for your entire existence? Let's be in 2013 worshiping servants. It's the only way to ensure that we'll be servants as long as we live. Father, thank you.